Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read to you out of 1 Peter. If you were here last week, I want to strengthen and maybe put stuff in a little better order than I did. I'm just calling this Not Without a Fight Part 2. If you weren't here, you'd probably be good if you got the CD and listened to it. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, start with verse 6, it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you." And this is the verse, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, and to Him be all the glory and dominion forever and ever." Holy Spirit, help me today. Help me say what you want me to say. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody here today? Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Says here that he's our adversary or our enemy is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I like that word may, because may means you're asking permission. Can means you can do it. So he may be coming around today, but he can't have me. Can he have you? He can't have me. Can he have you? See, I can't say it and believe it for you. You have to do it. And so Peter here is not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to Christians. And he says, you be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil's going around like a roaring lion. And he's just seeing if he can get you. Now, he's trying to stop every good thing that God wants to do in your life. He's trying to stop everything that God's got planned for you. He's trying to divert you from the plan of God for your life. You know, God loves you, if you didn't know that. God cares about you. And Ephesians 2 tells us that he created us, and that we were preordained. He created us so that we could walk in all the good things, all his good works that he prepared for us beforehand. I'm telling you, God has some good stuff for you. Amen. Everybody say, God has some good stuff for me. And if you don't want it, just say, give my good stuff to Hank. Okay? 2 Peter tells us that he has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Amen. Now listen, if God has good things prepared, if he has desires to do big and good things in your life, if he has your steps ordered, if he has your life planned out, if he has a purpose and a reason for you, then what do you think the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to stop it. trying to stop it from coming to pass. He's trying to stop every prayer that you pray. He's trying to stop every answer from getting to you. He's trying to stop every blessing from getting to you. And if you let him, he'll do it. But a few of us are starting to wise up. We're not going to let that happen anymore. So how does he get us? How does he do it? I hear a lot of questions. Many of you have probably heard these if you've not thought them or said them. But questions like, how is the devil able to do all that to us? Something happens, we go, how in the world did this happen? I've heard people say, I can't believe God let this happen. If God really is so loving, how could he let this thing happen? Any of this ring a bell? And every faith battle you'll fight, questions like that will come up in your mind. Everything you're believing for, questions like that will come up in your mind. I just can't believe he was such a good guy, and how could this have happened to him? Well, I'm going to answer some of those questions for you today. And let me assure you, bad things do happen to good people. Okay? But let me try to answer some of those things. How did he deceive? Paul said, made a statement. Some of this is review from last week, but Paul made a statement that maybe helps us understand a little bit. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said this, talking to the Corinthians, talking to Christians, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. How does he do that? He deceives us. You've got to get this one fact established in your mind. He can do anything that you let him do, consciously or unconsciously. And if he can deceive you, he'll have his way in your life. Now that lines up. He's by his craftiness. Genesis 3:1 says this, and it lines up with that. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field which the Lord had made. He was more cunning. He was more clever. He was more crafty. He was more appealing. He was more tricky. He was a deceiver. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Now listen, he knows what he's doing. The devil's been at it a long time. In our scripture, we found out that what he's doing to you, he's doing to the other brothers and sisters. How many know when we're in the middle of a battle, we feel like we're all alone? We feel like, man, I have messed up, or what have I done for this to happen? Or you know, how come, I know I must deserve this. I know God's in control, and if this is happening to me, it must be God's will. Folks, that's a lie. That's a lie. Now, stick with me for a few minutes. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and read the rest of this story. He comes and he deceives us. Paul told the Christians in Corinth, he said, I'm a little worried about you because you're about to be deceived. I don't want him to deceive you like he did Eve. You with me? Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, pay attention, because he's walking around to get you. Let's go ahead and read in Genesis 3 here. I'll just read a few verses. The serpent said to her, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Notice how he turned around what God said. And the woman said to the serpent, no, we may eat of all the trees in the garden. But it's just that one tree over there in the midst of the garden that God said, you shall not eat it, or shall you touch it, or you'll die. You understand the deception here? Well, this won't hurt if you just do it once. Well, I mean, everybody else is doing it. I mean, hey, you did it before and got away with it. I mean, this isn't so bad. Anyway, then the serpent said to the woman, no, you won't really die. See, the devil's a master at deception. He's a master at turning around the Word of God in our hearts, in our lives. He's a matter, and you know what will get you and me every time? It isn't just always an outright lie. It's a half-truth. Something that has just enough truth in it to get us to go for it. Anyway, let me read this. For God knows that the day that you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, they were already like God. He created us in His image. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant, that it was pleasant to her eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it and ate it, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate it too. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. I want you to understand, Paul's saying here, Paul says, I don't want you to be deceived like Eve was. If the devil is able to get us, it's because he tricked us in our mind. The way she got deceived was in her thinking. And the way he deceives us is in our thinking. That's how he gets his foothold into our life. And it's all the way from doing the sins that we know we shouldn't do down to the self-consciousness and feeling like we're so unworthy and feeling like we deserve whatever's happening to us and whatever's coming our way. Are you with me? And then whenever we're up against it and there's not enough money at the end of the month and the body is sick and we're facing the sicknesses and that inferior, that guilt thing inside of us, that guilt consciousness goes something like, well, see, you deserve it. If you would have been a better Christian, if you would have studied your scriptures more, if you would have been at church every Sunday, if you would have, and it never ends. It's called condemnation. And we're not supposed to live in condemnation. This took care of it. What Jesus did took care of it. So, it all starts with the mind. And if your mind is unrenewed, if you don't know the Word of God, He's able to trick you. Huh? Because he can come to you and He can say all kinds of goofy things like, cleanliness is next to godliness. Do you know, for years I thought that was in one of the chapters and that's not even a scripture. And there's a whole bunch of them that you think of all the time, and they're not in there either. Well, if it's God's will, hold it. He told us what His will was. And if we will meditate in this, if we'll get it in our heart, He said, out of our heart come the issues of life. He said, if we will get it in our heart, if we'll meditate on it day and night, if we'll keep saying it, said it will cause our way to prosper. It'll cause us to have good success. Folks, that's God's will for His kids. So we see how the problem started. I love verse 13 in that third chapter. It says, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? In other words, He said, Eve, what did you do? And her answer was, the serpent deceived me and I ate it. He deceived me and I ate it. So, how does this happen? How does this do it? Well, he first off, He uses deception. He uses a half-truth. He uses something in your past and something in your life that you're more familiar with than anybody else, and you agree with it. He tricks us. He deceives us. He makes it look very attractive. He makes it look just like it's right. But there's another reason that he's able to do it too, and that's because he's legally able to do it. Let me read you a few scriptures here. Genesis 1 verse 20. Now get the picture. God's made the earth. He's made everything in the earth. And so then, after he had made the earth, he made everything in the earth. He made all the animals. He put all the diamonds in the ground. He put all the silver in the ground, all the gold in the ground. He put all the oil in the ground. He put all the world and all of its wealth and all of its stuff. He put it all here. And then he made man in his image. Okay? He said, here's all this. But all this wealth, all this beauty, all this has nothing. It doesn't mean anything if there's not somebody to enjoy it. And so he said, well, let's make man in our image. And so he makes man. In verse 20, he says, so God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Now, do you see what's happened here? God's made the earth, and then he says, hey, he makes the man, and he says, I made this for you. You rule it. I want you to see, God gave Adam all the dominion, all the authority to rule this thing. He had power of attorney. How many know what power of attorney is? If you give me power of attorney, I can go to the bank and take out all the money you got. If you give me your power of attorney, I can sell your house, I can sell your car. I mean, I can do business for you, and it's the same as if you did it. You with me? You understand the position God put man in? Now, this might be elementary to some of us, but listen, most of us aren't thinking about this every day, and we're not living this. And many of you listening to me have never heard this kind of thing. But he gave him the power of attorney. Now, what happened when Adam disobeyed God? Adam gave that power of attorney away. First Timothy 2, verse 14 says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. You see, Adam didn't go into it blindly. Adam knew what he was doing. Adam willfully gave it up. And then whenever he did that, when he sinned, sin entered the world, and then death followed. Well, Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone had sinned. Do you understand what that means? Whenever he sinned, that opened the door for the devil to come in and everything he had. There wasn't any such thing as death. God didn't create these bodies to die. He didn't create us to be sick. He didn't create us. All that came as a result of the fall of man. And when that sin entered, that death came. Here came sickness. Here came all this stuff. If you'll look, the spirit died, but it took thousands of years for the body to die. Adam lived to be what? He lived to be 1,900 or 1,000. I didn't look any of that up. But and over a period of time, gradually death got a greater hold and a greater hold and a greater hold, until at the time Jesus was born, the average age was around 33. The average age was in the mid-30s. But what we see from the time then, now it goes. I remember when average age was 60, and then that you died, and then 70, and then the average age that you died was in the mid-30s, is what I meant. And now, gosh, you got some Paul Vineys that are up in their 90s, and you got some others that are 100, and some of you are believing for 100, and I just want you to see how all this entered. Verse 17 in that fifth chapter, Romans says, "For the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many." How does this happen? Well, because Adam gave him the authority to do it. Adam gave away what God had given him. He willfully did it. Why doesn't God stop it? Well, why doesn't he just intervene? Well, you know, we know God intervenes, and we know he's sovereign, and we know he can do anything. But, you know, God's not going to go back on his word. The Bible says our callings are without repentance. And that means a lot of things, but one of the things means, hey, when God says something, he's not going to change it. The devil has... he has the legal authority to operate in the earth. A couple of scriptures that will help you understand this. In Job, the first chapter, verse 12, you know the story. The devil came to God, and we know about removing the hedge and all that, but he came to God and asked permission. And this is what the Lord said to Satan. Behold, all, this is about Job, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only don't lay your hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. I want you to begin to understand the realm that the enemy works in. He controls all this stuff. He controls all this wealth in the world. He controls all this. He's able to move, and he's able to cause circumstances. He's able to cause things to happen in your life. And the whole purpose in the book of Job was he was trying to get Job's eyes off God and get Job to blame God for all the things that were happening to him. And Job refused. He refused to blame God because he knew his God was so good that he couldn't do that to him. And folks, he didn't even have the Holy Spirit in him. And here we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the least little thing happens to us, and we blame God. Oh, you might not blame him, but you halfway get mad at him because it happened to you. Well, it happened because he can legally do all this stuff out here. And if he can get you to operate with your mind and with your flesh, he'll have you every time. But when you start letting your spirit dominate you and lead you and guide you, then you see through his craftiness. Is that making any sense to you? Another one, Luke 4. We know the story. Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 5, Jesus has just gotten baptized. The Holy Spirit's descended on him in the form of a dove, and it says that the Spirit led him into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. But here's this one verse. The devil taking him up on a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. Are you with me? Pay attention to this. Listen. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And this is what he said. This is what he said to him. All this authority I will give you, and their glory, For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. You hear that? All this stuff has been delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? Adam. Who delivered it to him? How did he deliver it to him? When he disobeyed God, he gave him what God had given to Adam. He gave that authority to the devil. All this, listen, folks, this has to be the truth, or it wouldn't have tempted Jesus. Huh? See, this isn't a little thing where he just throws some stuff out and mind's already made up and so he just goes through the motions. No, he had to be tempted, or it wouldn't be called a temptation. Now, I just want you to understand the battle. Why, when you pray, does the answer not come as fast as you think it should? Well, I've been praying and believing and nothing happened. Well, first off, that can't be true. Because if you're praying and really believing, something always happens. I'm not saying that we don't think we believe, because sometimes we call believing just giving mental assent to something. Why has all this happened? Why do I have to go through this stuff? Why is this happening to me? Why didn't my answer get it? Well, because you've got an enemy, and he's the god of this world. And he said, why do ministries all over the world have to beg for money, but Al-Qaeda never begs for money? Are you hearing me? All the evil things. You know, I mean, if you were going to build a church in town, you'd have to figure out a big campaign. You'd have to figure out a way to trick the Christians into giving, to talk them into giving. You'd have to figure out a way to work all this stuff and make all this stuff happen. But if you want to build a big casino, just go get it. Here comes the money. Are you with me? He has this, and he doesn't give it up without a battle. Okay? Jesus called him in many occasions the God of this world. Paul said, we wrestle against the rulers of darkness of this age and spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to understand there's spiritual wickedness in the air. There's spiritual wickedness in high places, towns and cities and states and countries are moved by an unseen force behind the scene until they break it. Thinking of that story, Steve, I see Steve Bakos back there. He's our missionary to Nicaragua. Start to say Argentina. You don't want to go there. But anyway, tells a story about a city, and when everybody started getting saved, all the leaders and everybody started getting saved. And it's been a long time since I heard the story. We need to get you to come tell it to us sometime. When they all started turning their heart to the Lord, everything started happening. Rain came, crops grew, trees grew fruit, everything started happening. And God can turn everything in your life. But you got to understand there's going to be a battle. Why? Well, because he's in control of all this stuff. There's spiritual wickedness that's trying to stop you from living where God wants you to live and from doing anything God wants you to do and from him doing in your life what he wants to do. I want you just to see the sides so you understand. So when this stuff starts happening to you, when you find yourself in a situation, you don't blame God. You blame who's causing it, and you take authority over him, and you stop him, and you tell him to get out of your affairs. You believe in what Jesus did, and something begins to turn in your life. The the two sides. John 3, I'll do this real quick. John 3, verse 16 through 18, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent him so that all this control and all this stuff the enemy had could be turned. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Do you understand? I said this last week, and I'll just say it again, since it bothered somebody. If you go to hell, it won't be because of your sin. It'll be because of the sin that you never received Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. It'll be because Adam sinned, because we're born into this world. We're born into this world sin. We've all sinned. We're born into this world coming short of the glory of God. Oh, but his love was so great. His grace was so powerful and so great and so beautiful that he said, I got to get my kids back. I got to get my kids back. So I'm going to send my only begotten Son, and whoever will live right, straighten up, keep all the commandments, he said, whoever will believe in him will have everlasting life, live forever. See, there's two sides. There's a condemned side and there's a saved side. We're born into the condemned side. Oh, but we can make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ and switch. There's a power of darkness, there's a side of darkness, and then there's a side of light. There's a kingdom of evil and there's a kingdom of good. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came so you could have life. And you could have it more abundantly. Colossians 1:13 says, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I use this verse a lot. John 16, verse 33, and I'm going to read it to you. Read it to you out of the Amplified. The Amplified is the woman's version, because it has more words. I heard somebody say that, and I thought it sounded cute. I've been waiting for a long time for a chance to say that. So, anyway, says this is what Jesus said. He said, I have told you these things so that you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Oh, but you can be of good cheer. You can take courage. You can be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. Oh, I love this part. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. See, so I painted a dreary story here, but I want you to understand. Because once we begin to understand, then we understand if God's dealing with us about something or if the enemy is just trying to trick us and deceive us. So, he's legally able. Just real briefly, so you have the whole picture in your mind of what's taking place. And if you understand this story, this is what the whole Old Testament does. The whole Old Testament is leading up to Jesus coming. Are you with me? And the New Testament is, he's here. So legally, man had been given the authority to rule the earth, to rule all the planet, to rule all the everything in it, have dominion and authority over everything here that God had made. And he gave it away. He committed high treason, if you will. He sold out. He gave the power of attorney, the authority God had given him, and he gave it to the devil. Now, think about what that means. That means now God's on the outside looking in. I mean, hey, sure, God could come in and just wipe it all out, but that isn't God's plan. What's the very first thing he told the devil after that happened? He said, I'm going to send somebody. He's going to stand between your seed and her seed. I'm going to send somebody, and he's going to bruise your head. Matter of fact, your head's going to bruise his heel. So here God is. He's got to get his plan back in the earth. And I'm trying to simplify this because I want you to understand it. He's trying to get his plan back in the earth, but he has no authority to get back in the earth. God's man has given away that authority that he gave him, so God has no legal right to operate in the earth. And so for hundreds of years, God looks for somebody that he can trust, somebody that will believe him, somebody that will let him back in. That somebody was Abraham. He's the father of our faith. He found a man that would believe God. He found a man that would trust God. And he found a man that would teach his kids to trust God and teach his kids to teach their kids to teach their kids to teach their kids to teach their kids. You see, he found somebody that would operate faith and would keep that faith going through the generations. And he found that man and he made a deal with him. He made an agreement with him. He made a covenant with him. He said, as for me, Abraham, this is the way it is. I'm going to come through your seed and I'm going to bless everyone in the earth. I'm sure Abraham didn't understand everything he meant. But he didn't have to. He just had to believe God. He just had to trust God. He just had to teach his son, Isaac, to trust God, to believe God. Do you think when he was up on top of that mountain with that knife and he was ready to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, do you think that didn't have an everlasting impact on Isaac? He's teaching him, no matter what, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. And through the generations, you understand? I want you to understand this faith moved from generation to generation to generation until God got enough faith in the earth. Thousands of years later, he got enough faith in the earth. He could implement his plan. He could send Jesus. That's what the first chapter of Matthew is that we don't like to read. It's all the genealogy, the lineage of you can just follow this all down from Abraham all the way till Jesus shows up. And so all through all these years, all these families, all these people, they would tell their kids, man, God sent us a promise. He's going to bless the seed. He's going to bless our seed. He's going to bless us because we're Abraham's. He's going to come through our line and he's going to bless every family in the earth. Until finally, Luke 2 records, the angels declared, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Christ, the Lord. And they declared, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now I'll go back to Romans 5, verse 17, and I'll read the whole verse now. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, just good time just to praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and read the next verse. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Are all these scriptures I'm reading going together? Resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteousness, through his righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Oh, we better read 19 too. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now you got to get the connection here, and I'm running out of time. You got to get the connection here. Paul prayed in Colossians 1, verse 11. He prayed that we might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, let me stop there. I'm going to read 12, but let me stop there. That's when we're in the middle of it. That's when we're in the crisis. That we'll be strengthened, that there will be a strength and a power on the inside of us that will cause us, when we don't feel like standing, to stand anyway. Cause us, when it doesn't look like anything's going to happen, we'll believe it anyway. There'll be a strength inside of us that'll cause us to joy and to look at all this stuff the enemy does, to just look at it and go, yeah, sure, sure. You hadn't ought to ever cry when you're in the middle of a crisis. You ought to just start laughing, because the idiot doesn't know any better than to keep trying. Don't worry, there will come a day when you will. Very soon. Verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. I'm glad I didn't have to do this. To the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son of love, to the Son of his love. And I love Galatians 3:13. Now listen, he's made you to be a partaker of the inheritance. He did it. Well, I would like to have more money, but I know I don't deserve it. I just would like to be healed, but I know that this has probably come on me because of... Hold it! He made you to be a partaker. He made you the righteousness of God. So if you're in the middle of all that junk, just go, yes, I blew it. Yes, I sinned. Yes, that's wrong in my life. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And now you're right back in good standing with him. That blood causes that to happen. Nothing stronger than that blood. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14 says, so that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through our faith. Verse 29 says, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I just went back and read this yesterday. You ought to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. If there's any question in your mind, what is a curse and what is a blessing, you need to go back and read it. Because he lists the blessings that'll come on you. He lists the curse that'll come on you. And by the way, let me just say this. God didn't curse the earth. Adam cursed it when he bowed to Satan. He let him in. How many know there wasn't nothing I can do about that? Nothing you can do about that, is there? I mean, you know, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. But I wasn't there. I didn't do it. It isn't fair that I should be punished because of Adam's sin. It isn't fair that I should be under the dominion of the devil because of what he did all those thousands of years ago. It isn't fair. Of course it isn't fair. That's why God did something about it. Huh? That's why he didn't say, you have to toe the line, you have to live up to the mark, you have to do everything right. Now, if you really are born again, you try to do all those things. If you're really saved, you don't want to live away from God. You want to get closer. But he didn't say, now, when you get everything right, Hank, I'll save you. I'd still be waiting to get saved 43 years later. It isn't fair that I had to be under all this dominance of the devil because of what Adam did. He said, you're right, Hank. It isn't fair. That's why I'm going to make it easy for you not to be. I'll make you a partaker. I'll take the curse for you so that all my blessings can come on you. And it's not performance. It's by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus, while I was a sinner, you did that. And I'm still a sinner, and so thank you for saving me right now. Amen. While I was imperfect, still everything's not perfect, Lord. But because of you, everything's perfect. Amen. I'm a partaker. Huh? And I was thinking the other day as I was reading through Leviticus, oh, that's a hard read. Anybody ever read Leviticus? And all those men, a lot of those books are really hard reads. And I'm going, well, Lord, to simplify this is this whole Old Testament is showing the plan that Jesus is coming. He keeps promising over and over and over what he's going to do. But I go, but all this, man, all the priests and all the things on his robe and all the things in the tabernacle and all the little things. I'm talking, man, all this stuff. I'm going, God, how could anybody do all that stuff? He said they can't. That's why they had to give a sacrifice every year. But this is what I got to thinking about when I was reading Leviticus the other day. I said, God, all this stuff boggles my mind. And a little voice inside of me, and I know it was Jesus. He said, yeah, I took care of all that. So you really don't have to worry about all that. I satisfied all of that for you. God says, I qualified you, Hank. Whew, now I'm still trying to learn some of that stuff, but I don't have to know it. I don't have to get every I dotted and every T crossed because, man, Amen. He qualified you. He qualified you. Well, let me just quit here. I got some more good stuff. We'll do some good stuff next week, too. But you say, well, okay, Hank, but see, this is the whole point. It all happens by us using our faith. What did Paul say? What did Peter say in 1 Peter there? He said, be sober, be vigilant, watch, pay attention. Don't let him trick you. He's going around seeing who he can get. Don't let him get you. Be sober, be vigilant, pay attention, stay focused. What did he say to do? He said, resist him in the faith. Can I just share a little nugget that God gave me this morning about that? Because I always preach, resist him with your faith. And how many know that's how we resist him, is with our faith? But that verse said, resist him in the faith. See, what I'm learning is, my faith isn't something that I'm just supposed to pull off the shelf every time I'm in a jam. Every time I'm ready to yell uncle. Oh, let me get my faith, dust you off here, and start quoting scripture. Faith is supposed to be a lifestyle. The just will live by faith. You want to know why sometimes your faith doesn't work and why sometimes my faith doesn't work? It's because I'm not living in it. Huh? I mean, I got to live in it. I mean, thank God for miracles and thank God that for his grace, and he still makes it work when I pull it off the shelf. But he would rather me live in it. And most of the time, if I live in it, I'm able to see these things before they happen, and I'm able to not get into some of those messes. Well, we've let the devil teach us and train us to go from trial to trial, crisis to crisis. And we get done with one and we're looking, waiting to see the next. When he says, be sober, be vigilant, he's not telling us to be afraid of the devil. He's saying, pay attention. Know what he's doing, because when you know what he's doing, you can stop him if you know it's him. Huh? See, if you're sick, it's not from God. There wasn't any sickness here until sin entered and then death followed it. If you're lacking, it isn't coming from God. He made everything. And said, Adam, now you and Eve make a whole bunch of kids. And y'all just enjoy this. Be fruitful and multiply. And have dominion. When you need something, go out in the backyard and dig you up a diamond or dig you up a chunk of gold. Or it's all here for you. So when we see what the devil does and we see what God does, everybody here this week, read Deuteronomy 28. You won't ever blame God again for sickness. You won't ever blame God again for lack. And the blessings, they cover everything, and that's real sure. And the last half, man, is the curses, and man, it's long, man. How many know the devil's still pulling out curses? Well, you don't have to live there. He became a curse for us. He took the curse for us. You say, well, Hank, that all sounds good, but I don't know where to start. Well, the only place you can start is right where you are. You can start saying no to the devil and yes to God. When all these things come and some of these questions that I've said come into your mind, you go, no, that's not good. Remember this, we used to do this all the time. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so you could have life. Well, did anybody learn anything or get reminded of anything today? Now, I need to give you some principles of faith, and I'm going to try to do that next week if the Lord doesn't change my mind. some ways that things that we do that makes our faith work. But anyway, I want you to understand, and the starting place today is you don't have to let the devil get away with all that in your life, and you don't have to be strong. You just have to believe in the one that is strong. You say, well, Hank, I don't know about all those principalities. Hey, David couldn't have killed a giant if he wouldn't have killed a bear and a lion first. So you take care of the little bears and the little lions, and God's building into you what you need to take care of the giant tomorrow. Just enroll in his program. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Give him some praise. I want to sing a song here. I want everybody to stand. And I want, if you're here today, well, first off, maybe you're here today and you're fighting a battle and you just like somebody to agree with you. We'll have some folks, some guys and some girls down here to pray with you. We'll just agree with you. But there's somebody here and you don't know for sure if you're saved. You don't know if you're right. The Bible didn't say you had to fix everything in your life. It said you have to believe and confess Jesus as your mouth, with your mouth, confess him as your Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So if that's you and you need to be saved and you don't know for sure, while the others are coming, you come too. And if you're here today and you've been saved and you've never been baptized, or maybe something's been dealing with you about getting baptized again, if that's you, you come on and we'll baptize you. Whatever it is you need today, come on, we're going to sing a verse. Say something with me. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Save me right now. I believe you went to the cross for me. You died for my sins. You rose again for my victory. So right now I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to live for you. But I need your help. So help me now, Lord Jesus. I pray it in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you never had before, or you think something happened, come on down. We'll still pray with you after we dismiss. How many got a little bit of knowledge today, maybe? Maybe now we can begin to not let the devil get away with all the stuff he's getting away with in our life. Now remember, it's taken you all your life for you to be conformed one way. So it takes the Holy Spirit a little bit of time to conform us back into the image of his dear Son. Does that make sense? So don't beat yourself up because you fall short or you make mistakes or it's not happening as fast as you think. Or anyway, don't beat yourself up. Just realize I'm a work in progress. Everybody say, I'm a work in progress. The Holy Spirit is turning me into the image of his dear Son. Every day I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. So, start right where you are, and you can just say, no, devil, in Jesus' name, and he has to listen to you. Hey, I love you. And I speak the blessings onto you, into your life and into your family. And I believe him to do big and mighty things in your life. And so I speak and believe this day and this week to be one of the best that you've ever had. So you go and walk in his favor and know that he loves you and know that he's blessing everything your hand touches. Hey, I love you. I'll see you next time. If I didn't get a hug, I'd still like to get one.
No time.